Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Bochim Daf Tzadi Beis. We begin at the Mishnah, which is partway down the Omer, a brand new Perek. Perek Dam Chatas. Our Perek will primarily discuss the Halacha of Dam, the blood of a Korban Chatas, which got sprayed onto a beged, onto a garment. The halacha is techabes b'makim kodesh. That beged must be clean, must be laundered in a holy place, meaning in the Azor, in the Beis Hamikdash, in a very specific way. So, when does this apply? What type of korban? Under what circumstances? Okay, we'll see. Says the Mishnah, dam chatas shenitas al beged. So you have blood of a chatas, which sprayed onto a beged, onto a garment. Harizaton kibus. The halacha of kibus with all its requirements applies in this case. Now, before we continue, let's perhaps take a quick look at the pasuk. So those of us who have it on the margin, it reads like this: Hakoyin amachate oisa yoichlano b'mokim kodesh tiyachol. So clearly, we're speaking about an edible korban chatas. Now there are pretty much three categories, three different types of korban chatas. We have the chatas chitzoina, the external one whose blood is placed on the external mizbeach. That chatas is then distributed to the Kohanim to eat. We have the Chatas HaPnimis, the internal one, whose blood is applied on the Mizbeach HaZov and the Heichal. Typically that carbon is not going to be consumed by Kohanim, rather it's going to be burned. And we have the Chatas HaOif as well, the bird Chatas. Okay, so the Pasuk here speaks about an edible carbon Chatas, an animal carbon. We're speaking about a Chatas Chitzoina, right? Eat it, Mokim Kodesh. Then it says, well, if the blood, Kolasher, if any of that blood sprays onto a beged, ala beged asher yize oleha, tichabes, it must be laundered b'makim kodesh. Still, the Mishnah says, despite the fact that the pasuk seems to be speaking primarily about a chatas chitzoina, which is going to be consumed by the kehanim, right? Nevertheless, the halacha of kibus, this laundering process, applies to the blood of an internal carbon chatas as well, which sprayed on a beged. Okay, so again, dam chatas shenitas al beged, harizaton kibus. Kibus is required. Afal b'she'en akosim medaber. Ela b'nei cholis, because if you look at the wording, the pasuk is certainly speaking about the edible carbon chatas, the external carbon chatas, shenemar b'makim kodesh te'achil, right, the one that's eaten. Nevertheless, you should know that the halacha of kibus applies to the internal ones as well. Echad, whether it's hanecholis, the external chatas which is eaten, vechad apnimis, or the internal ones which are not eaten by the kayanim, tunis kibus. Kibus is required under all circumstances. Shenemar, why? It says toiras achatas. Toiras is an inclusive language, inclusive term. Toira achas, the same exact rule applies, lekol achatos, to all forms of chatas. However, the blood has to be coming from a chatas which is suitable for akrava, which is an active carbon. Chatas psula, but a disqualified chatas, it doesn't apply there. Ein domaton kibus, its blood does not need kibus, because kibus is specific to active chatas material which is suitable for mizbeach, not one which is disqualified. So if it's pasul, it's out. Whether it became pasul from the get-go, or was pasul only later on, as the process developed, it doesn't matter. If it's currently pasul, it's disabled, kibus will not apply. Bein shalo yisal l'shatas hakoshe, whether it had a moment in time when it was suitable in potential, ubein shalo yisal l'shatas hakoshe, or whether it never had a moment of potential, it's pasul now, it's out. What are examples of either? Ezoi, let's have some examples. Ezoi shalo yisal l'shatas hakoshe, what are examples of those who had potential but then became disqualified? Well, shalana, the blood was left overnight. Shenitma became tamei. Shatzos left the azara. So it was kosher and then became pasul. Category number two is ve'ezahi shaloi ha'isol shasa kosher. Those who never had a moment in time of suitability, they became pasul at the first moment. Shenishal tachrusas mana, because the shechita was done with the wrong intentions, wrong time, shchosim kaim in the wrong place. V'shekib v'psulin as dam, all the disqualified people went and collected the blood, so it was pasul from the first moment. Okay, the Mishnah says the dam of the chatas, which landed on a beged, it requires kibus, and although the pasuk speaking about the Ne'echolos, we include even the Pnimius as well, based on the Lashon Teiras, Teiras Achatas, Dam Chatas, Shenitas, V'chud. And the question is, we're including the Chitzayin, we're including the Pnimius. Why don't we include the bird as well? Chatas Oif. V'Teira Achas. Look at Chatas, if the Lashon Teira Achas covers all types of Chatas, I feel Chatas Oif Nami, why not include even the bird as well? Alam Atari, we learned in the Braisa that he's not in. Yochel Yedam Chatas Oif Ton Kibbutz. Perhaps Kibbutz applies even to the birds. Tam Lema Zois. Right? Zois excludes the bird. Right? It says, Zois Teira Achatas. The Teira is inclusive, but Zois is exclusive. Why do we say that? Amr Shlokish. Mishim Bar Kapar. The reason why we don't cover the birds under the banner of Teiras, Amakra, the Pasuk says Tishachet. Right? The Pasuk is speaking about these karban. It says Tishachet. It's shechted. It's slaughtered. That only applies to an animal. But in Shchatois, HaKasav Medab, we're speaking specifically about animal chatois, but not birds, which have a melika, different process. Well, for the same money, you can say we're speaking about edible chatois. We should say benachalos akasim b'davak tachsev mokum kadosh te'achal. You're right. Teshachet indicates animal as opposed to bird, but te'achal indicates edible as opposed to inedible. Only the chitzayin, not the pnimis. Avo, but pnimis loy, leave them out. For that, we have an answer. Rabbi Rachmana Teiras. In the word Teiras, we include them as well. Yochel v'chadosev nami. So if you include it, you include the birds as well. Well, for that we have an exclusion. Miat Rachmano Zois. Zois limits. Okay, so you have Teiras which includes. We have Zois which excludes. Who's to say that you choose the animals to bring them in and the birds to take them out? My Rois. Who's to say we go this way as opposed to that? Well, the answer is, let's judge which one's more similar. So, the established one is the Chatas Achitzoina, right? Which is Necheles. Now, amongst the other two, the Pnimius Chatas Behemah, or the Chatas Oif, which one's more similar to the Chatas Behemah Chitzoina? Let's see. Mistar, it's more probable the Chatas Behemah Pnimius. Havali Larbui, we should include the Chatas Behemah Pnimius, which has many more elements of similarity to the Chatas Chitzoina than a bird does. Shekein Behemah, first of all, they're both animals, as opposed to the bird. Shechita Safin, both of them, Shechita takes place in Safin. The Kabbalah's clear that blood is contained in a kli as opposed to a bird. V'keren, the blood is placed on the protruding, corner up on the corner of the mizbech. V'etzba, using a finger, v'chuda, on the edge of that corner. V'ishim, the fats of both go on the fire of the mizbech. Right? So they have all these similarities. Adarab, if anything, chatas oif havli l'rabuyah. No, let's include the bird. Shekechutz kamoisev, achilik kamoisev has two elements of similarity to the chatas behem achitzoyna. First of all, they're both externals. And number two, they're both edible. Hanach nefishin. There's no contest there because the other similarities are way more. So if we choose to include, we'll include the chatas behem apnimis under the banner of kibbutz. But exclude the birds. Rav Yosef Amar, he says like this. Amar kro. How do I know to include the behem apnimis and exclude the oif? Pasuk says yeichlena. Hakoyin amachata is yeichlena. He's going to eat this one. So within the edible family, we limit it only to this one and exclude another edible chatas, which is the bird. The exclusion takes place within the edible family, which is comprised of the chatas behemachit soina, chatas oif. We include one, exclude the other. But we do not exclude the chatas behemachit, which in any case is not an edible carbon. It's not covered by this exclusion. Okay, says the Gemara, if you have an exclusion from the from this pasuk, why do we need the other limiting term zois? It's no longer necessary. But zois, what's that for? Lomeli. The answer is like this: Ilav zois. Because if not for zois, havamina, I wouldn't know how to interpret this pasuk of yechlena. I would say, it's just a mode of speech. Yechlena urche dekra. It's just a way of speaking. It's not coming to limit anything. Kamashmon comes the word zois and says exclude something. Which one? Now we shift over to yechlena. Within the edible family, we exclude one, which is the bird. Rabba Amar. He takes on a different approach. He says, look, Amakra, I'll tell you how we know to include the chitzayna, the pnimis, but not the bird. Amakra asher yazer. The pasuk, asher yizer. The pasuk in describing this blood being sprayed refers to it as asher yizer. indicating that we're speaking about the type of blood that as part of its carbon process is going to be sprayed. Bahazois, hakasa medaber. And that's unique to the chatas apnimis, which has azor, right? Each chatas is a different mode of you know applying its blood to the mizbeach. The chatas chitzoin is done by finger directly, you know, contacting the mizbeach, touching. But the chatas apnimis is different. You take the blood, you know, you dip your finger in, you spray it like that. That's hazor, and that's unique to the chatas apnimis. Hence, we know that the chatas apnimis is also covered by this directive. There is kibus there as well. Ba'asher yizeh, ba'azois, or b'ni zois, those that go through hazor, kasa medaber, and that's what the pasuk is referring to. So that's the Gemara. But if you take a look at the Mishnah, it would seem otherwise. You're assuming that the, you know, the given is the pnimis. In the Mishnah, we seem to say that the given is chitzayna. But Tanan, the Mishnah says, you know, really, the pasuk is primarily speaking about edible ones, which is the chitzayna. You're saying that the starting point is the pnimis. That's the more simple one. You're right. When it comes to kibbutz, starting point is the pnimis, because that's consistent with hazor. The Mishnah, which places the starting point as the chitzayna, it's talking about a different halacha altogether. Regarding Mariko Shtifa, there's a halacha that you meant to, you know, the vessels that were used in cooking the carbon is meant to be washed in a certain way, in a certain manner, a certain location. Regarding that halacha, the chitzoyna is the primary, you know, source for that. Avelin and kibbutz, but regarding kibbutz, which is the topic of our discussion, asher yizeksiv, the term asher yizek clearly indicates that the starting point is the pnimis. Yachi says the Gemara, but in our Mishnah, in reference to kibbutz, seems to say that the more simple one is the edible one, the chitzayna yachi, because that's what your Mishnah puts it. It says not just the edible one, which is the chitzayna, also the inedible one, which is the pnimis, indicating that the starting point is the edible one. Yachi echad ha-ne'echoles ve'echad ha-pnimis, not just the ne'echol, also the pnimis. It should go the other way. Echad, if the pnimis is the more obvious one, it should say echad ha-pnimis, right? Instead of echad ha-ne'echoles ve'echad ha-pnimis, it should go the other way. Echad ha-pnimis ve'echad ha-ne'echoles ve'boile. Not just the pnimis, which is a given, even the ne'echoles. Tani, yeah, we have to revise the Mishnah. In fact, it should read echad ha-pnimis ve'echad ha-ne'echoles. So at this point, kibbutz applies to pnimis and ne'echoles. Yochi, if that's so, then chatas hoif nami. Include chatas hoif as well. Because if hazah is the criterion, well, guess what? Chatas hoif also undergoes hazah. You spray the blood straight from the bird to the mizbeach. Let kibbutz apply there too. No, miyat rachman hazois. We have zois to exclude him. Okay, if zois is limiting, then limit the external chatas as well. Yochi chitzayin nami loy. Well, for that we have Teiras, to include Riba Rachmana Teiras. Well, who's to say which way to go? Ma'arois, who's to say to include this one and not that one? Mistavra, once again, we have that list of similarities between the Chitzayin and Pnimis. It's more probable that he's in. Chatas Behema, Lebuyei. It's more probable to include the Chatas Behema Chitzayin. Why? Because he has many similarity factors with the Pnimis. Shekein Behema, the both animals, Shkitas Tzofa, and Nukabla Kli, right? Like we said before, Vekarim, Ve'etzba, Vechuda, Ve'isha. As opposed to the bird. Well, Adarabah, if anything, Chatasoif HaLirabuy, include the bird as well. Shekein Hazor Kamoisa. Because they both undergo Hazor, him and the Pnimi. Hanach Nefishin, certainly, the list of similarities between the Chatas Behemah Chitzoyna with the Chatas Behemah Pnimi are more numerous. And therefore, he's in and the bird is out. Okay, so we have a total of two ways to determine. That in fact, kibbutz applies to dam chatas of a chatas behema only, whether it's chitzayna or pnimis, as opposed to chatas oif. Okay, speaking about chatas oif, which undergoes a melika, and then you take the animal, the bird itself, and you spray the blood directly to the mizbeach. There's no kabbalah taking place, right? Unlike the blood of a chatas beim, which is collected in a kli, and then put on the mizbeach. Here it goes directly from the neck to the mizbeach. The question now is like this. There are two ways to look at this neck right now. Is it like a kli sharis? Is it as though the blood is now contained in kli sharis and gets that elevation, that higher status, and preps it for the mizbeach? Or shall we say, no, by a chata, so if there's no need for kli sharis. Kli sharis is not on the agenda, it's not on the table. And this will have, practical, consequential applications. Boy, Rabbi Abin. Says Rabbi Abin like this. I have a question. Chata so'iv shehichnas dama b'tzavar. Bifnim. So we know that the dama b'chata's behema, once placed in a kli, may not be taken into the heichal unnecessarily, right? It belongs outside. It belongs outside. Take it inside, it becomes possible. What happens to in a similar case? If you take the dama b'chata so'iv, transported in the neck into the heichal, what happens now? Now, shall we say, tzavar kli sharis dami? The neck of the bird is like a kli sharis. It functions as a kli sharis. It does the same. Plays the role of a kli sharis. In which case, the blood in there is like a new entity, dam of carbon. It is labeled as dam of carbon. Kli sharis dami mifsel. And by taking it to the heichal, you have now transported carbon blood into the heichal. It becomes possible. Or shall we say, no, ketzavar behema dami. Blood while in the neck of a bird is like the blood in the neck of an animal before Kabbalah, in which case it's not susceptible to this halacha, because the pasuk in describing the psul that occurs when you transport blood into the heichal by an animal, it says midama, from its blood, once separated from the animal, turned into a separate entity. That's what the pasuk says. Not while it's still, in the flesh, while it's still mixed in with the flesh. So, likewise by a bird, while still in the neck, it doesn't have a status of dhamma, in which case it's not susceptible to this psul. Tashma, it comes a raya. We have a raya, a prichas of an ichasalafnim. Bechazra. After the malik of the bird, it jumped into the hechel. Bechazra came back out. Ksheira, it's okay. Because it went in by itself. Let's make an inference. Let's make an observation. But apparently, if he did it himself manually, transported the bird with its blood in it into the heichal, becomes possible. Apparently, the first side of our equation is correct. It's treated like blood in a kli sharis, which becomes possible upon entering the heichal. According to your way of thinking, let's move on to the next part of that braisa. We'll see that your observation won't really hold true. It can't. Here's an example of Kodesh Kedoshim, which have to be slaughtered in the shechted in the tzafayin, right, of the Azar. The Ketani, it says, Pirchas of Yatzal Adar. Let's say he jumped into the Dharam side, other side of the Azar, and Chazan came back, sure, it's okay. Are you going to make the same observation on that halacha? Hoitziya psula, but if he would manually take it out to the other side of the Azar, it would become puzzle? Of course not. The only time it becomes puzzle if it leaves the Azar completely. Elo, so apparently both inferences aren't really accurate. The main objective of the Brisa is to teach us the next halacha, coming to teach you that if it was taken outside, even if it jumped out on its own, outside, completely outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's the point of the Brisa, to tell you that it becomes possible. Likewise, when the in the beginning of the Brisa spoke about it jumping out on its own, it doesn't mean to say that it would be any different if he takes it out personally into the heichal or whatever. It wouldn't really matter if it was done automatically or manually. The main objective here is to highlight the other halacha, that if it leaves the entire premises, then it becomes possible. So the diuk isn't really accurate, and you can't really resolve anything from it. Here comes another question from Rabbi Abin. Similar as before, regarding the how to treat the neck of the bird after Malik. Boy, Rabbi Abba, nishbach ala rutzpa ba'asaf ha'ma. Typically, after shchita, after the Kabbalah, if the blood spills out from the kli onto the floor, you just recollect and put it back in. Not so if it spilled out directly from the neck to the floor. That's it. It lost its opportunity. So, suppose the blood spilled off the neck of the bird onto the floor. Does it disqualify or not? Pretty much depends on the factors discussed a minute ago. How do we treat the neck of the bird? Is it like a klisharis, in which case the blood is now safe, and even if it spills out, you recollect, put it back in? Or do we say, no, directly from the neck to the floor, lost this opportunity. Nishbach ala ritzpah, it spilled out directly from the bird to the floor, v'asof, and he recollected it. No. What's its status? Shall we say, he's safe. Why? Because the neck is like a klisharis. Even though it's not an actual vessel, atzruchei, hudalei atzruchei, rachmana klisharis. The Torah by a bird does not require an actual klisharis. The bird itself serves that purpose. So it's safe and sound, and even if it spills out, put it back in. Therefore, oisvei v'kasher, it's fine. Oidim, what you can say, mifsal pasal bei rachmana klisharis. No, actually, the Torah doesn't want a klisharis. It's detrimental. The Torah doesn't want a klisharis. The neck is not a klisharis. Specifically not. And therefore, if it spills out onto the floor, it's gone. Just like any other blood of a carbon which went straight from the neck to the floor, that's it, it's gone. Let me prove from the following halach. Right? So we had a discussion earlier regarding the dam of a chatas oif. Kibbutz doesn't apply. Why? Zeus. Right? How could you even contemplate kibbutz by the chatas oif? Now we know that, we learned this in the Mishnah, if the dam becomes pasul in any manner, that's it, it's over. It's deactivated. There's no kibbutz applicable. So let's picture it. He did malika. Now that dam of the chatas oif sprayed onto the kohen's shirt. If a klisharis is an unwanted guest here, he's an unwanted factor. He doesn't belong here, meaning to say that there's no klisharis in the picture at all. In which case, if the blood would spray from the bird to the floor, it's pasul. You can't salvage it. So likewise, if it sprays on a shirt, the same thing should happen. It should lose its status. Not only that, not only once it hits the shirts, even while it's still the airspace hovering, it's landing, about to land on the shirt, the airspace of that shirt should disqualify that blood and make it possible, in which case it's disabled, deactivated, and kibbutz wouldn't apply in any case, without discussion. Why even discuss the question of dam chata, so if needing kibbutz, either way it's possible. Typically, look, in any case, it lost its status. No, if solei ba'aver kli, becomes possible once it enters the airspace of the garment. Amar hun v'rishu b'mad b'kli b'tzavar. You're right, if it would have hovered above the kli, fine, but here we're speaking that the shirt came to direct contact with the bird, with the blood in the bird, so it never really flew over the airspace, so it wouldn't become possible for entering the airspace of foreign territory. So it's still kasha when it touches the shirt. I would think kibbutz is required. The answer is no. Baimine Levi. Okay, Levi had a question and he asked it to Rebbe. Need to ask me beged le beged mal. Standard, you know, dam chatas of behema, which needs kibbutz. It sprayed on the shirt, then from the shirt it landed on the pants. It went from one to the other. Do the pants require kibbutz? There's damchatas there, but it's no longer original damchatas. It had a stopover. Perhaps that disables it, deactivates it. Ma, what's the aloha? Mi beged kama itchilein the kibbutz. Shall we say once it came into contact with that first beged, that's it. It became rejected from kibbutz. It lost its kibbutz status. Or loy. Perhaps not. It still retains its status. Even through this long journey. Armalei, he responded, Zushelo, yeah, it's a good question. Ton kibbutz. The answer is yes. Even the pants. Because either way. E oisve v'kasher, ha-kasher. Because if we shall say, you see, the question really is like this. When blood spills from the kli to the floor, it's still active blood, it's still carbon material. So even if it sprays in its current state, in current position, it goes and sprays onto a beged, kibbutz is needed. It's still suitable for a zrika. Right? The question here is, if it's on a beged, landed on the shirt, perhaps that's different. That changes its status, because now kibbutz is needed. You have to launder it. That's a new status. It's slated for kibbutz, so perhaps that terminates its process. That deactivates it. Or maybe not. So he said, that's a good question. He validated the question. He says, no. I think certainly the pants need to be washed. Tom kibbutz. Manushach, either way. Either way. Anyway, look at it. The answer is yes. E oisvei v'kasher. Because if we'll assume that even once it hits the shirt, you can still, you know, sort of collect that blood and use it for carbon. Hakasher, okay, so then it's fully active carbon material. Of course, it's still going to trigger a kibbutz to the pants when it lands on it. Even if you say that once it hits the shirt, that's it, it's done. Even if you should recollect it, it's possible it can't be used for zrika. Still, if it carries on to the pants need to be washed. Why? I know the Amar who says, even though currently it's possible, but if there was a moment in time when this blood was suitable, kibbutz is always required. The Amar says, there was a moment in time when it was suitable, even if it became possible now, like in this case, once it landed on the shirt, it's possible, still, domaton kibbutz, kibbutz is still applicable, in which case you have to go wash the pants as well. Okay, in summation, we learned about the halach of kibbutz that applies when nachatas lands on a beged, which karbon is chatas, chatas chitzoin, chatas pnimis, but not chatas oif, that's excluded from the word zois. And we had some interesting questions. Rabbi Abin posed two questions. How to view the chatas oif blood while it's still on its neck, is it like a klisharis or not? And we had the Rebbe's response that if the blood played hopscotch, going from one garment to the other, both garments require kibbutz. All the best to you and Hatzlacha.